Thank you, Pastor Jordan. I'm just mindful as we're praying and in this spirit of worship and receiving from God here on our campus, whether you're here in our worship center or you're outside on a patio or you're down in the chapel or you're home watching, there might be some of us here that we really are seeking. We really are asking. We really are knocking. What we're seeking and asking and knocking about is it possible to know God personally, to step into this kind of relationship where we talk to God and we know He's in our hearts and we know we're going to heaven and we know we have security? And yes, the answer is it is possible. In fact, it's as clear as ABC. A, you have to admit that you're a sinner and that your sin separates you from God and that you're in desperate need of salvation. And B, you got to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin and that He rose again from the dead and that Jesus is the Lord of life who can restore you into relationship with God. And C, you have to confess personally Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. If you want to do that, you can do that right now. I want to give you the invitation right now to seal the deal of stepping into a relationship with God, because the Bible says in John chapter 1, to as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. And if you want to know that you're a child of God, that Jesus has forgiven your sin, that Jesus is the Lord of your life, that you have new life, that you can actually talk to God and He's your Father, He hears you, He answers you, He works in your life, and that heaven is certain, I invite you right now to commit your life to Christ. Would you pray with me? God, I pray for anyone here on our campus or at home who needs to step into new life with You. Speak to them right now. If that's you, just from your heart, talk to God. From your heart, say, Jesus, I believe in You. Jesus, I turn to You. Forgive my sins. Make me clean on the inside. Jesus, come into my life and be the Lord of my life. I repent and I believe in You as my resurrected Lord. Jesus, I want to follow You today, tomorrow, and for the rest of my life. God, I pray for every person who is sincerely asking that, crying out to You, seeking and knocking, that You would give them the certain assurance that You heard their prayer. Their sins are forgiven and they've become a child of God. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you made that commitment, whether you're here or you're at home, that's the most important decision you could ever make for your entire life, for your eternal life. And we would love to encourage you with some information that'll help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here on our campus, would you just reach down in between your seat, you pull out there's a little card, you can just fill out some information about yourself and let us know that you made that decision to give your life to Christ. You can drop it off in some buckets by the doors when you leave today. Also, if you're at home, just press the connect button and fill that out. Let us know that you gave your life to Christ, because we want to send you some information that will help you take the next steps in following Christ. We're talking today about prayer because we're in this new series. It's called The Master's Teachings. We're looking at what Jesus actually taught. You know, one of the things, the final thing that Jesus taught is called the Great Commission, where He says, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then He says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. That's what this series is about. What did Jesus command? So we're looking at the Gospels. We're looking at the words of Jesus in this particular series of the Master's teaching. We're looking at Luke 11 and 12. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there, Luke chapter 11. And we're discovering, we just started this, last week was our first week, but we're discovering that what Jesus teaches on in this first section of Luke 11 is all about prayer. So we are focusing on prayer. In our services, we're focusing on prayer. Daily, we're sending out prayer devotions. Our staff have recorded prayer devotions that you can watch on Instagram and on Facebook every day to align our church in this prayer focus. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer gathering. This past Wednesday night, we filled up the worship center. We were praying for healing. And this Wednesday, we're going to do that again. We're going to be worshiping and praying Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, in our fellowship center. And we're going to be praying for miracles. If you are asking God to do a miracle in your life in some area, you want a miracle, we invite you to come back Wednesday at 7 o'clock to Join with us as a church as we pray and ask God to do miracles in our life. We're doing that because Jesus teaches us about prayer, and he teaches us how to pray so that our prayers are answered, because it says in Luke chapter 11 that one day, one of his disciples, it doesn't even name who did it, but one of the disciples was observing Jesus praying, and he said, "Lord, teach us to pray the way that John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray." And so Jesus said this in response. He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine's on a journey and has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not give up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" What I love about this passage, amidst many things, is Jesus is asked by one of his disciples, "Teach us to pray." The answer that Jesus gives is not just how we ought to pray or what words we ought to use when we pray, but he actually says, "This is how you can pray so that your prayers are answered." We need to know that God wants to answer our prayers. We need to know that we have a Heavenly Father who is good and loving and powerful and sovereign and wants to answer our prayers. And Jesus is teaching us how to pray so that we receive what it is that we're asking for. This gives us great hope and motivation. And it ought to cause you to kind of lean forward a little bit to find out the answer. What is Jesus actually saying? Last week, we saw that what Jesus said about how to pray so that your prayers are answered is to pray with a focus on God's kingdom and God's name. Pray that his name is made holy and that his kingdom come. And he says, pray for your daily needs, your physical, spiritual, relational needs. God wants to meet your needs. So tell him what it is that you need. And we saw that God wants to give us spiritual victory and wants to enable us to walk in a way that's completely free from temptation, but is walking in the path of righteousness. When we pray that way, when we pray those kind of prayers, God hears, God answers, God wants to answer our prayer. Now Jesus introduces two more concepts about how to pray so that our prayers are answered. And the first one he does by way of an illustration, and the second one he does by way of repetition. I'm calling this message praying boldly, because I think that's what Jesus is talking about. I think that's the way he wants us to pray. So, praying boldly, praying in a way that our prayers will be answered, involves, first of all, knowing that God answers prayers that are asked with shameless audacity. Shameless audacity, that's an interesting term. Why don't you say that with me? Shameless audacity. Let's say it again. Shameless audacity. It's a translation of one little word in the Greek language, but it's built in a context of the story that Jesus gives. So remember, Jesus is answering the question how to pray, and he's answering in a way how to pray so that your prayers are answered. So he gives this illustration, and it's really rooted in the ancient Near East and their culture. So it's late at night, it's midnight, and somebody comes to your house, and they're going to stay with you, and you don't have anything to give to them. Well, in the ancient Near East, hospitality was highly valued. So if somebody came and was going to stay with you, it was just expected that you would invite them in and that you'd provide for them. So someone comes and they're going to stay with you, but you don't have any food to give them. So you're desperate. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't be caught in this kind of situation. So in the story that Jesus gives, the person goes next door to their neighbor, someone that they trusted, someone that they knew probably had the resources that could provide for them, and starts banging on the door. Now it's midnight. And again, in the culture, in the custom, people went to bed early. Remember, there was no electricity. So everything had to be lit up by oil lamps or candles of some sort. And the way the homes were constructed, unless you were very wealthy, everyone in the family slept in the same room. So now it's midnight, you're down, your wife, your kids, and they're all kind of laying on mats around you, and some crazy guy is banging at your door. And so you say, the neighbor says, it's late, I'm in bed, the kids are all asleep, come back tomorrow. But because you feel so desperate because these people have come over to your house and you got nothing to give to them, you're banging, you start yelling even louder. Finally, the guy says, not because you're my friend or my neighbor, but because you're driving me crazy with the way you're banging on the door, I will get up and give you what it is that you're asking for. That's the story. And Jesus says, we ought to pray like the crazy guy banging on the door. Shameless audacity. The Greek word is anaideia, and it means an unembarrassed boldness, acting in a way that you don't care what people think, and you're desperate, you're impassioned, and you just do whatever is you got to do to get the job done without thinking about what other people are thinking. I don't know. If you parents out there who have kids who are a little older can relate to this, but in our family, once our kids reach a certain age, they began to mock us as parents and repeat back to us embarrassing stories of the way we parented when they were younger. That's always fun, right? And there's an epic story that my kids love to tell about me. We were going on a family vacation, and we left the house later than I wanted to leave. There was more traffic on the road getting up to LAX than we anticipated. It took longer to go from the parking garage to get to the actual airport. So that by the time we actually walked in to try to get our tickets, there was just a really small time frame to be able to get on the plane. It was a real likelihood that we were going to miss our flight. So I ran up to they had just put in those automated types of machines. So I ran up to it, and I punched everything in, and it didn't work. I punched it in again, and it flashed up and said, call for an agent. And my kids love to tell this story. Because now I'm feeling desperate. We left late, there was traffic, we got to the parking garage, took longer. We finally got to the airport. We're going to miss our flight. Call for an agent. So it's in the middle of LAX. People are walking around and everything. And this is what I do. Call for an agent. Agent! 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 We need help! Agent! Right here! We need help! Agent! My kids and my wife backed away from me. But guess what? An agent came, helped us. We got on the flight and we had our vacation. See, in the moment, I didn't care what my family thought. I didn't care what all the people in LAX thought. I thought, we got to get on that plane. And so I'm yelling for an agent like a crazy guy. Jesus says, we need to pray. Father! Father! See, we need to do whatever needs to be done without worrying what other church people think. And we need to ask God with desperate, unembarrassed boldness, shameless audacity. Now, what does that take? I think about that, and I think, what does it take to really pray like that? And first of all, I've said it a couple of times, it takes a sense of desperation. I think, and there's no judgment here, because if there is, I'd just be looking in a mirror. I think sometimes we don't have our prayers answered, and we don't pray in a way that our prayers get answered because we're not really desperate. We think we can still handle it on our own. We've already got our plan B lined up because our plan A, which is God doing what only God can do, in the back of our mind is, that's probably not going to work, so I better figure out what I'm going to do to take care of this situation. So we even approach prayer without a sense of desperation. James tells us, God gives more grace. This is James 4. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he'll exalt you. There's a real sense of desperation that drives praying with shameless audacity. This past week, we're in a process of training kind of all of our pastors and staff in CPR and some of the latest safety techniques. And I took the class to get CPR certified. And if you have done that kind of training before, you know what I'm talking about. But when you see someone who possibly has had a cardiac event, the first thing that you do is you look at the situation to make sure you're not kind of going to hurt yourself or somebody else by stepping in to help the person. You step down and you try to see if they're alert and you try to get their attention. And then now in that assessment, if you find out yet this is a person who either isn't breathing, they've had some kind of cardiac event, you see that and then you look up and guess what you do? Help! You know, could someone help me, please? Help! And then you get everybody's attention, and then you say, you call 911, you get an AED, you put on Staying Alive on Spotify so I can do it to the beat. Staying alive, staying alive, ooh, 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 staying alive. No, see, you yell for help. Why? It's a desperate situation. If we're not desperate, we will never pray with shameless audacity. We need to have a sense that only God can take care of this situation. God answers prayers that are asked with a sense of desperation. That drives us to be bold and unembarrassed in the way that we ask. See, the needy neighbor, by the way, in his desperation, didn't just walk out into the street, "Hey, could somebody help me? I need some food. Can somebody help me?" What did he do in the story that Jesus gave? He went next door to his neighbor. He went to the go-to person that he knew could help him out. See, in our sense of desperation, we don't turn to the world. We don't turn to ourselves. We go to God. We go to the one who's promised to hear us, who's promised to take care of us, who's promised to answer when we cry out to him. It's one of the reasons I love the Psalms. They speak with all the emotion of the heart. Psalm 63 says, "Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole being, my whole body longs for you. In this parched and weary land where there's no water, I've seen you in your sanctuary. I've gazed upon your power and your glory. Your unfailing love is better than life. I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me with the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I will lie awake and think of you. I will meditate on you throughout the night because you're my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you." Praying with shameless audacity is meaning we're desperate, but we're desperate for God. We go to God. Jesus teaches us that God answers desperate prayers that are asked of him with unembarrassed boldness. Pastor Greg, would you just speak out and lead us in that kind of prayer?
Lord, we come before you The creator of the universe, the maker of all things. Lord, we ask that you would hear your people, Lord God. That you would turn an ear, Lord God, and hear our cry. Lord, thank you for salvation. Thank you for creating a way for us, Lord God, to redeem us. Lord, thank you. Lord, because of that, we come before you boldly this morning, God, knowing that you love us, Lord, that through the good and through the bad, Lord God, you provide. Lord, we want to praise your name through it all. Lord, we come before you as a people. Lord, I come before you, Lord God. I pray that you would touch my family, Lord God, that you would bless my wife and my children, Lord God, Noah, Lord God, and Taylor, and Micah, Elijah, and Ethan. Lord, that you would draw them close to you, Lord God, that you would bless them, Lord God, that you would fill their lives with joy and peace, Lord God, that you would challenge them, Lord God, that you would stretch them. Lord, I lift them up to you. Lord, I thank you for this great nation, Lord God, and I lift it up to you. Lord, I lift up all that is happening, Lord God, the good and the bad, Lord God, and I pray for our leaders, Lord. Lord, give them wisdom as they lead. Lord, I lift up our country to you. Lord, I lift up all those that are sick right now, all those that are struggling, those with cancer and those with ailments, Lord God, and pneumonia, and those with COVID. Lord, I pray that you would touch their lives, Lord, that I pray with those in our family that are sick and our body that are sick, Lord God, that can hear my voice. Lord, would you touch their life? Lord, the creator of the universe, be small and real to that person right now. Help them in their time of desperation, in their time of need. Lord God, would you touch them and fill them with your Holy Spirit? Give them the peace that passes all understanding.
Yes, God.
Lord God, would you touch their lives and their hearts? Yes. Lord God, would you give peace to their family members that are watching in pain and anguish, Lord God? Lord, we are desperate for you. We are in a pit. We are struggling, Lord God, and we're crying out to you, God. We're lifting up our hand. We're asking for your help. Would you touch your people, Lord God? Lord, would you help every person in every situation? Lord, those struggling with anxiety today, Lord God, that can't get out of bed because of fear. Lord, that are struggling with addiction, Lord God, that are battling, Lord, with that, whatever it may be, Lord God, would you give them freedom from that? Lord, break that bondage to that situation. Lord, those struggling in their marriages, Lord God, those struggling in with a relationship with a loved one, Lord, would you heal that? Lord, wherever we are at, Lord God, if we come with praise or we come with anguish, Lord God, I pray that we praise your name, Lord, because you give, you take away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. God, we love you. And we thank you for bringing us here, Lord God. We pray for revival.
Yes, God.
That your Holy Spirit would reign in this place, in our hearts and our lives, Lord God, that we would leave here changed and different. It just wouldn't be another day, another Sunday, Lord God, that you would, your Holy Spirit would reign in our hearts and lives and would impact those around us, Lord God.
Yes.
Lord, we pray for change. Lord, we pray for wisdom. Lord, we pray for revival, Lord God. May your light be shown in this place, Lord God.
Yes.
May your light be shown in our hearts and our lives, Lord God.
Yes.
Lord, as you defeated Goliath, as you parted the Jordan, as you parted the Red Sea, Lord God. Lord, as we have faith of a mustard seed, you will move mountains. We pray for that, Lord God.
Yes.
Lord, we lift up our church.
Yes.
Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me compassion. Lord, give me peace. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this service. Lord, we cry out to you.
Yes.
Lord, we love you because you are Abba, you are Father, and you love us. We are your children. In Jesus' name we prayed. We all said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't ever be embarrassed to pray. Don't ever be embarrassed to pray passionately. Don't ever be embarrassed to pray boldly. Come to God with shameless audacity because Jesus says that's the kind of prayer that gets answered. That's the kind of prayer that gets answered. A second thing that Jesus says about prayer, he's asked, Lord, teach us to pray. He teaches us not only how to pray, but how to pray so that our prayers are answered. Jesus says God answers prayers that are offered with a continued persistence. Prayers that are offered with a continued persistence. He says in verses 9 and 10, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, this is an amazing prayer promise when you look at this. Jesus said, essentially the same thing over in Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. So this is a repeated teaching of Jesus. And it bears with it a sense that we really need to unpack what he's saying. So when Jesus says in verse 9, ask and it will be given to you, he says, this is the way it's written in the original language, he says, I'm commanding you, it's an imperative, ask. Not if you ask, that would be what's called a subjunctive. This is an imperative, ask and it will be given to you. And he says, ask, he says that it's in a present tense verb construction. Ask, just keep on asking. I'm commanding you, ask, keep on asking, and it's going to be given to you. That is what's known as a future indicative. The indicative is what's really going to happen. If you ask and keep on asking, what's really going to happen? It's going to be given to you. Seek, same thing. It's a command. It's an imperative. It's in the present tense. You seek, keep on seeking, and you will find. It's in the future indicative. You're going to find. Knock. It's an imperative. I'm commanding you to knock. It's in the present tense. Keep on knocking. And the door will be open to you. It's an indicative in the future. It will happen. So Jesus says, I'm commanding you. This is the way you ought to pray so your prayers are answered. You ask and you keep on asking. You seek and you keep on seeking. You knock and you keep on knocking. Ask, you're going to receive. Seek, you're going to find. Knock, it's going to be open to you. But he speaks of this in a present tense, continual, persistent action. Jesus commands us to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And Jesus promises that those who do this are going to receive. They're going to find, and the door's going to be open. If that's not enough, he repeats it. See, Jesus wants us to understand something. Not only does he repeat this teaching on different times in his short 3-year ministry, in this particular case, having been asked the question how to pray, giving an answer how to pray so that your prayers are answered, he says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you're going to find, knock and the door will be open to you. And then he says it again, just a little different way. He says, everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So when he says it a little different way, he even expands it. He says, everyone. See, we may be prone to think, no, God answers the prayers of the super spiritual. God answers the prayers of the missionaries. God answers the prayers of the pastors. God answers the prayers of the elders. No, so he says it again, says, everyone. This is a promise open to everybody here, everybody listening online. Jesus is saying this to us, everyone. And then when he says it the second time, he changes the grammatical construction. And I don't want to just get into the weeds, but it's important because he says, everyone who asks. Now he says, everyone who is an asker. That's a good way to translate that. It's grammatically what's known as a nominative participle. It's describing someone who does a particular action. What is the action of this person who's being described? They are an asker. Askers get what they ask for. Seekers get what they're seeking. Knockers get the door opened that they're knocking on. Are you an asker? Are you a seeker? Are you a knocker? Because if you are, if that is so much about what you actually do that you'd be called an asker, you'd be called a seeker, you'd be called a knocker, you're going to receive. You're going to find, and the door is going to be open. See, it's another way of basically saying the kind of prayer that God answers is a prayer that you You offer again, and you keep on offering, you keep on asking, you keep on seeking, you keep on knocking. Persistence. See, Jesus is teaching us something here that we need to really embrace. Some prayers, they are answered, bam, immediately, as soon as we ask for them. And other prayers are answered when we pray for them a few days. And other prayers are answered when we pray for them a few months. And other prayers are answered when we pray for a few years. And other prayers are answered when we pray an entire lifetime. But we're to keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 16 years old. I've shared my story many times. Didn't come from a Christian family or religious home. My parents weren't believers. We didn't go to church. We didn't pray. We didn't read the Bible. My brother was the first person who came to know the Lord. He shared the gospel with me. I received Christ. I was 16 years old. I prayed for my parents my entire life. Prayed for my mom my entire life. 40 years later, my mom gave her life to Jesus. 40 years later, my stepdad had passed away. There was a pastor in the community who visited with him on numerous occasions. I called out and reached out to him, and he's a great brother. He visited my stepdad in the hospital, spent some time with my mom. After my stepdad had passed away, this is up in Northern California, I drove around with my mom. We drove over to the church where this pastor was the pastor, and I showed her the church, and she said, no, I'm not ready. A few months later, after my stepdad had passed away, my mom started attending this church. And she told me. I said, that's awesome. After attending the church for several months, she called me. I was driving on the freeway. And she said, I've been going to this church every Sunday. I go, that's awesome, Mom. She goes, I keep waiting for them to tell me how to do it, but they haven't told me how to do it. I said, do what? And she said, you know, become a Christian. And while I'm driving on the freeway, through my Bluetooth, just went through the ABCs like I did here. And I said, well, Mom, would you like to give your life to Christ right now? And she said, yeah. So over the phone, I led my mom to the Lord. She gave her life to Jesus. Last several years, she's just been walking with the Lord. Her life just tremendously transformed. But I prayed for over 40 years before I saw the answer to my prayer. There's other prayers I've prayed, maybe you've prayed for more than 40 years, and you still haven't seen the answer. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Jesus uses three descriptions: asking, seeking, knocking. Asking is the praying. Asking is the praying. The seeking and the knocking, I believe those are the attitude and the postures and the actions that are to accompany the asking. Remember last week I shared with you some of these great prayer quotes? This was a prayer quote, partial quote that I shared from a guy named Ian Bounds. He said this: I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk about, when I lie down, when I rise up. And the answers are always coming. Never give up praying until the answer comes. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Here's the great secret of success. Work with all your might, but trust not in the least in your work. Pray with all your might for the blessing of God, but work at the same time, with all diligence, with all patience, with all perseverance. Pray, then work. Work, then pray. And still again, pray more. And still again, work more. And so on all the days of your life, the result surely will be abundant blessing. You see, the work, I think, is the seeking and the knocking. The asking, that's the praying. But because we're desperate and we're praying with this shameless audacity, and we keep on praying, we keep on asking, we also do whatever it is we think needs to be done to see the prayer answered. So we pray over our request. We ask other people to pray with us. We go to prayer meetings and pray for what it is that we're praying about. We search the scriptures and to see, is there anything in the Bible about what it is that we're praying about? And if the Bible has any kind of conditions that ought to be met to see that answer realized, well, we keep on praying and we obey all the scriptures that are part of the conditions. You see, that's the seeking and that's the knocking. We read books on the issue that we're praying for because We're desperate and we're praying, but we're seeking and we're knocking. We explore every option that's related to the request and we keep on doing it. Well, what about when we feel discouraged and we want to just give up? Many times I have felt discouraged and want to just give up. I'll be honest, many times I felt discouraged about something I've been praying for. Right now, there's something I've been praying for my life in this church, and it just hadn't happened yet. And sometimes I get discouraged about it. I was reading in my journals. I keep, you know, I all my Bible study, quiet times, prayer times, I write them in a journal. I journal everything. I've been doing that for many years. I was going over and looking at some of my journals, and I realized I've been praying the same prayer for a long time, and it hasn't been fulfilled. In fact, I could take the journal of I could just wrote today and compare it. I almost say it the exact same way, and the scriptures that I have in the parentheses, quoting these scriptures, trying to stand on God's word to believe that it's going to happen, are the same scriptures. And this is months back, years back. Now, I could get discouraged and just give up. I haven't seen the answer. Doesn't look like God's going to answer this prayer. I'm just going to stop praying it. Because I've been praying it a lot and it hadn't happened. Or I could get excited and say, because God actually says, if I keep on seeking and if I keep on knocking and if I keep on asking, it will be given to me. I could take that same evidence, I've been praying this for a long time, and it could be the evidence to me that I'm going to get this because I'm doing what Jesus said to do. Do you see what I'm saying? And it's a choice. It's a faith choice. What am I going to put my faith in? Am I going to put my faith in how I feel because I haven't seen my prayer answered? Or am I going to put my faith in what God says He's going to do? What do I believe more? How I feel or who God is? What do I believe more? What I feel or who God is? I listened this past week to one of my favorite preachers, probably my favorite preacher, Dr. Tony Evans, and he actually was speaking about this, and he gave what I believe to be a great illustration. I want you to hear it in his own words. This is Dr. Tony Evans.
Most stories that have a happy ending don't feel like it along the way.
We borrowed for everything. Want a new couch? Go finance it. Want a new TV? Go finance it. Want a new car? Go finance it.
My whole philosophy was credit cards. I'll just work another week. Swipe the card.
Everything kind of started to crash.
We started to see our marriage drop away.
I personally owed $750.
All y'all know my favorite soul singing group growing up was what? Question. He said, my girl. He said, in case you didn't hear me, I'm talking about my girl. What he was saying is, my external circumstances are dark, but the sun is shining inside. He said, the hawk is biting on the outside. But I got a furnace burning on the inside. And I guess you said, what can make me feel this way? He said, it's my girl. Now, you know what he was saying? He was saying, I got a love relationship so hot that it doesn't matter what's happening on the outside to determine how I feel on the inside, because how I feel on the inside is controlled by this dynamic relationship with my girl, that on cloudy days I got sunshine, and when it's cold I'm warm and hot and burning up, and it's all because of my girl. I'm going somewhere. You may be in a cloudy situation right now. You may have a cloudy past. People may abuse you before and you don't know where to go. Every day is dark. But I'm here to tell you today that you can have sunshine on a cloudy day. Your life may be cold and you may be shivering because of mistreatment and abuse. You may be trembling all over because things aren't going right. The doctor's prescription may not be in your best interest, but I'm here to tell you, when it's cold outside, that you can still have the month of May. Now I know what you're asking. I guess you say, what can make me feel this way? My God. I'm talking about my God. He gives me sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, he can still give you the month of May, but he's got to be your God. Listen, I don't need no money, fortune or fame. I got all the riches that this man could claim because of my God. I guess you say, what can make this preacher feel this way? It's my God. And I'm talking about my God. He can meet me in a mess and turn it into a miracle. That's my God. He can take my bad past and still give me a smile. That's my God. That's my God. Is he your God today?
I got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I got the month of May. I guess you say, what can make me feel this way? My God. My God. Are we going to believe our feelings? Are we going to believe God? Jesus in this passage is telling us how to pray, and how to pray knowing that our prayers are going to be answered. He said, pray with shameless audacity. And keep on praying, and keep on knocking, and keep on seeking, and it'll be given to you, and you'll find, and you will receive. God, I pray that we be these kinds of prayers, that we would seek and knock and ask and do it with unembarrassed boldness, so that we receive what we ask for. Thank you, God, that there's nothing impossible with you. There's nothing that you can't do. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's not a mountain that he can do, or praise a name that makes a way. Nothing that a God can't do. Would you sing this with us together? There's nothing that a God can't do. There's not a prison wall he can't break through. A praise and name that makes a way. There's nothing that a God can't do. Amen. Let's declare, I will believe for greater things. For greater things, there's no power like the power of Jesus. Their faith arise, they'd all agree. There's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe. For greater things, there's no power like the power of Jesus. Their faith arise. Let faith arise, let all agree. amen to that. There's nothing impossible for our God.
God, we do believe that there's nothing you can't do. You are the God of all.